Today's scripture reading is from Exodus, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord not among us, or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a brief prayer? Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our hearts to receive and understand the living Word of God. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Phew. How are you this morning? The weather is gorgeous, right? What a glorious day. In today's story, the Israelites present their deepest fears in the wilderness by asking, "Is Yahweh God among us or not? Is God with us or not? Have you done this and been there before like the Israelites?" All of us might have asked the same questions in our deepest fear in our seasons of the wilderness. And let us learn from the Israelites today as they are on a journey in the desert. And I hope and pray that today's biblical account will give you great encouragement. Today, in our text, the Israelites hit another bump in the road. The place where the Israelites complain is named Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing or quarreling. The Israelites have camped at Rephidim, but they face a problem there. There is no water for them to drink. In the previous journey, the Israelites experienced God's provisions and miracles. And God provided water at Mara, written in chapter 15. And God also provided quail and manna in the wilderness of Sin, written in chapter 16. And this time, in today's story, written in chapter 17, the Israelites have no water to drink. And they did far more than just grumbling this time. They are quarreling, arguing with Moses, and they are about to stone him. They are demanding Moses give them water to drink. "Give us water to drink. Give me water to drink right now, immediately." And Moses accuses the people of testing Yahweh God. And he interprets the people's demand for water to be a test of Yahweh. "Why do you quarrel with me, and why do you test Yahweh God?" I think Moses was right. They got tempted to test God because of their fears and their unbeliefs. And in Egypt, they were chosen by the king Pharaoh for work and ultimately for death. And now the Israelites have to look upon and follow the invisible God who brought them out of Egypt. The honeymoon of the Exodus event is over. Their journey in the wilderness is bumpy and rough and tough, day after day, and the Israelites are in a new environment with a new leader under the authority of the invisible Yahweh God, not of Pharaoh, their invisible human God. People are continuously doubtful about who is in charge of this wilderness journey. Why have we been chosen by God called Yahweh? And they suspect Moses and God's intentions for them, and they wonder if they have been brought into the wilderness to die or to be killed along with their children, which mean their futures and their livestock in which they find their security. And Moses goes back to God again and complaining about the people. What shall I do with this quarreling, complaining, arguing people? And God tells Moses to take the staff and that he used at the Nile River and to meet God on the rock at Horeb, from which water will flow when Moses strikes it with his staff. The God of love, the God of grace, and the God of patience again provides water from the rock to these unbelieving and rebellious people. God chooses grace again to bring water. It strikes me that God chooses to bring water again and again to these complaining and rebellious people. They don't deserve it. But God chooses to save the sinners. And we see the God of grace from this biblical account. Grace is God's unmerited gift for all sinners, including you and me. We don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. But God has chosen to cover us with God's amazing, amazing grace. And the Israelites should have learned by now that God had promised to deliver them, not to destroy them, and that the God of the divine God had always protected them and provided for their needs, no matter how bleak things looked. Grace after grace, patience after patience, our God leads us when we are in our season of the wilderness. And out of Egypt and out of the wilderness and wherever we would go, God will indeed find ways to make life flow in unexpected ways. So my friends, stop complaining, but see the grace of God holding you tight in your wilderness. And I hope and pray that you will be encouraged by discovering, finding, feeling, possessing, enjoying the amazing grace of God today. If you feel and think you are in a season of the wilderness now, I want you to consider that you are in special training to boost up, enhance, level up your trust in God. Who brought them to the place where there is no water? It was God. It was God who brought them to the place where there was no water. By day, a pillar of cloud guided them on their way. By night, a pillar of fire gave them light so that they could travel by day or night. Wasn't it God? Wasn't it God who made them camp there? Why? Why did God bring them to a place where there was no water? It was because the people of Israel needed a critical test and lesson to learn about God's love and grace in their journey. God wanted them to trust God's good intentions and rely on God's power. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Trust the word of Jesus. God's purpose and intention for you are good, righteous, and just. Today, God teaches us what the covenant relationship is like between God and humanity. God is saying to us, I am different from the king Pharaoh in Egypt. My intention to call you from Egypt is to give you the new life and new hope. My child, I love you. And I am determined to be gracious to you. I am determined to be gracious to you. And I am a loving God, and I will love you, and I will provide all you need wherever you go. And I am convinced that this is what God is speaking to all of us this morning. But here is an important thing for you to remember. Your wilderness season will require a certain amount of trust from you. It requires a willingness to put faith in God, who seems not to do things in a typical way. What makes you trust in God when you are in the wilderness? It is your faith in God. Faith trusts in God even when the result appears to be fatal. God's plan was to make the Israelites to be the nation of faith as they were passing through a course of training in the desert. They were becoming the people of faith who'd enter into the land of promise with the confidence and expectation of God Almighty. So where are you spiritually in your spiritual journey? Are you still in the honeymoon stage right after the Exodus? Or are you crumbling in the wilderness because you do not see the water to drink? Are you right before entering the land of Canaan? Are you in the middle of a fight against your enemies in the promised land? So where are you spiritually today? Do you have faith in the God of grace? God wants you to trust in God and God's good intentions for you. When the Lord says to you, go to the right, will you go to the right? When the Lord says to you, stop in and stop there, will you stop it right there? When the Lord says to you, this is wrong and I want you to change, then will you come to terms with it and change your ways of living? Yes, you will and you can when you realize and remember the depth of the love of God offered through Jesus Christ. Don't forget about how much God loves you. Don't lose your faith in your gracious God. Hope is to look forward with confidence and expectation. So my friends in Christ, be hopeful again in the Lord God Almighty. Go out and find the rock to strike in the name of Jesus Christ. To strike the rock means to find the joy even in a difficult moment, even in the wilderness. Striking the rock is trusting that there is a way forward, even when it seems like there is no way. And striking the rock is a declaration of faith, even when it seems like giving up makes more sense. Is hope really real to you and alive in you? I realize that for many people, sadly speaking, hope is not real. Hope is more than just asking God for something you so badly need and want. When you bring hope, you bring life as well. Did you know that hope in Christ is very contagious, as your love for Christ is always contagious? And I believe that hope is one of the most critical gifts that you can give to other people around you. So go in Jesus' wonderful name and spread the hope of Christ to others. Hopeless people usually complain against God. But hopeful people praise and worship the Lord even in the wilderness. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, be hopeful again in Christ and strike the rock before you and you will see the living water coming from the rock. So can you repeat after me? I want to finalize the message here. Can you repeat after me? In Jesus' name, I am striking the rock. In Jesus' name, I am striking the rock. Amen. Let us pray. Divine God, help us always find the love and grace of God sustaining us. And we trust that you have made everything possible for us and make us be a hopeful message to this hopeless world. And God of grace and mercy, now hear the prayers of thanks and concern that we now speak aloud and raise silently from our hearts. Have mercy on these following people of God: Ed White, Evelyn Regal, Karen, Megan, and Barbara Berry, and all our dear congregants with health problems. Let us take a moment of silence and make our petitions directly to God from our hearts. Lord, hear our cries. God of the last, and God of the first, and God of all those in between, hear these concerns as we seek your presence in our lives and a world in need. And now we pray the Lord's Prayer in one voice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.